Welcome to the Health Fix Podcast, where health junkies get their weekly fix of tips, tools, and techniques to have limitless energy, sharp minds, and fit physiques for life. Hey, health junkies. On this episode of the Health Fix Podcast, I'm interviewing Dr. Barry Tan. He has been researching vitamin E for almost as long as I've been alive. That's 35 years for him. I'm in my 40s, so it's pretty close to a long stinking time. But here's the interesting thing about it. I was taught with vitamin E to be very careful with vitamin E. I was kind of confused about it. The industry really wasn't sure what its benefits were. But after talking with Dr. Tan and really diving into his book and his research, I'm blown away by the benefits for vitamin E. In particular, how it can help with blood sugar, metabolic syndrome, prediabetes, cholesterol. So thinking about the inflammation factors in the body that mess with our metabolism. He even talks about bone health, cancer health as well, and fatty liver conditions. And anybody who's interested in skin, we've been talking about vitamin E for years, putting it on topically, but we don't think about how it can benefit our cells and our overall vitality internally. So this is a fabulous podcast. I geek out to the max. So if you're ready to geek out, sit down. This one's a little bit of a long run than my usuals, but you will learn a ton of stuff. All right, let's get into the podcast. Hello there, health junkies. Welcome to another episode of The Health Fix. I'm your host, Dr. Janine Krause. And on today's episode, I have Dr. Barry Tan. He's a scientist and a researcher, and he is into vitamin E. My goodness, he has been researching it for the last 35 years. So if he doesn't know vitamin E, I don't know who else does. So we're going to be talking all about vitamin E, and we're going to be talking about how it's such a powerful antioxidant and all of the benefits. So Dr. Tan, welcome to the Health Fix Podcast.
Thank you so much for inviting me. I hope that this would be a very productive and useful one for all your listeners out there.
Oh, I have no doubt, because I asked ahead of time to some of my folks and I said, all right, vitamin E, what do you know? What do you want to know about it? And it turns out that a lot of people have this confusion. Well, not really confusion, because we've been marketed for so long that we want to be looking at a certain type of vitamin E. We don't want to just buy the cheapest one on the market. We want to kind of look at what is in it. But for so long, it was all the tocopherols, mixed tocopherols, all that. And then I was looking at all of your research, and we've got this tocotrienol. And I've been recommending tocotrienols for a while through Designs for Health, like we had talked about their product and coming from the Anatol plant. But the biggest question everyone has is, wait, why tocotrienol versus tocopherols? Tell us the scoop. What's going on there?
All right. So vitamin E is two classes of a compound, the tocopherols and the tocotrienols. And people know about tocopherols earlier on. Actually, the entire vitamin E field is a very American affair. two pediatricians, exactly 100 years ago in 1922 at UC Berkeley, they discovered that there is a factor, and then they extracted from spinach. Why they did that, I didn't know at the time, because not a lot of oil in spinach. And that when they extract this, they're able to bring the fetus to full term. I don't know if many people know that. And because of that, alpha tocopherol is known as a birth vitamin. So it's a vitamin E. It just got to the new, to the alphabet E. And so it was that. So then in time to come, in the following 5 years or so, its antioxidant property were known. And most people know it as an antioxidant. Tocotrienol as a class came about 40 or 50 years after the tocopherol. So it's almost like something is not going to happen. And when it did, it was still mislabeled. And then in tocopherol, you have alpha, beta, delta, gamma, the four Greek letters. If you look at very early literature, there are some strange Greek letters, the nu, five, and chi, tocopherol. So they're mislabeled. So those other Greek letters actually were alpha, beta, delta, gamma, tocotrienol. And later they corrected that. So with all of this in place, you know, you probably noted that the tocotrienol almost never came about. Then in truth, and probably prophetically, I started my career in 1982 as a University of Massachusetts professor. And during that time, I started to play around with vegetable oil, and I found them in rice bran oil. I found them in palm oil. And then most recently, of course, I found them in this wonderful plant here called annatto, where we get now. And then the annatto have completely free of tocopherol and just tocotrienol. So there you have it. So there are these two classes, but the tocopherol is more well known. However, in the 1990s and 2000s, very large scale clinical study were done on alpha tocopherol for cancer, for cardiovascular health. Almost all of them fail, and then and may even cause a damage. You hear, cause breast cancer or prostate cancer like that. So then the brake was pulled down on alpha tocopherol, besides being as an antioxidant, but I persisted on tocotrienol. And today, tocotrienol clearly have significant impact on chronic conditions. So as we talk on, I can delve into some of these chronic conditions.
Oh, we are definitely going to talk about those, because what you mentioned was that those research studies that really kind of scared people. And when I was in school, we were kind of put out that, oh, you know, you got to watch vitamin E levels. You can't give someone very much. And so a lot of us kind of shied away from it. We thought, well, I don't know, you know, is this vitamin, you know, is this going to cause more trouble than it's worth? And so I do a lot of testing. Mm-hmm. With white blood cell analysis, like micronutrient testing, to see if folks have certain vitamin mineral deficiencies, just to get a sense of, mm-hmm. of what's going on. And what I found is that I don't see a lot of folks with vitamin E deficiencies, but what I do see on these tests is that a lot of folks have antioxidant deficiencies. Mm-hmm. So I wanted to get your opinion on this in terms of, obviously, vitamin E is a huge antioxidant. Would you fair to say that if we didn't see a deficiency per se on a test, but we did see lower antioxidants, someone is definitely, you know, definitely looking to need a little bit more vitamin E?
Yes. And people study this antioxidant thing in the red blood cell and in the white blood cell, or even in the LDL particle. There's several ways that they can study this, in what cells or what particle inside the blood. And consistently, this is here. I'll tell a story that captured the imagination. I know the audience can't see that. And if you, here is a molecule of tocotrienol, vitamin E. If you look into the ring, into the tail. There's one double bond here. There's a second one in the middle, and then there's one end. So the three double bond makes the whole tail of a tocotrienol slightly shorter than a tocopherol. Another way to call the tail of a tocotrienol is unsaturated. Mm-hmm. The tail of a tocopherol is saturated. Because of the saturation, the tocopherol tail is longer. So what does a longer tail mean? Just think of it like this. The vitamin E look like a tadpole or a sperm. So the saturated tail and unsaturated sticks into the phospholipid in the cell wall. And if you think about fat, more than half of the fat in the body is not in the love handle or in the butt. It's not there. More than half of the fat in the body are the cell wall that surround the cell. And since we have 38 trillion cells in each human body, that's a big number. How do you contain to grasp the number? There's 7.6 billion people in the world. 5,000 times the size of the world population are all the cells in your body. So all line up in all your cells are this phospholipid fat. And in this fat, we would like to encourage people to take omega-3. They're even more unsaturated and more prone to oxidation. And in the 1980s, was an Austrian professor. He decided to quantify this. He used a cell wall to get from a cell. He extracted all the antioxidant, and he found that 90% of all the antioxidant that protect the cell wall, they are vitamin E molecule. The remaining 10% of all the other antioxidant, what you and I heard about, lutein, lycopene, astaxanthin, resveratrol, blah, 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 is a whole laundry list. So for the audience, I like you. I wish for you to understand this, to cut to the chase. When people talk a lot about antioxidant, they are. But the antioxidant that I care about would be fat, because fat is the easiest thing to oxidize. Why do I say that? If you look at the summertime, all of us are in the summertime, the first roadkill, the smell, a stick of butter on a hot summer day. When you smell that off smell, what is that? That is oxidized fat. It's not oxidized protein. It's not oxidized nucleic acid DNA. You know, if my protein is oxidized, my nucleic acid is oxidized, I am gone, gone, gone. I'm so long gone. So usually the first thing to get oxidized is the fat. And for that reason, 90% of them look like this. You see the tail, it sticks into the lipid, and then the top here, it captures radical like that. So they look like this. So you don't have to worry about, oh, glutathione, master antioxidant, and then you see all these other things. They are, but they do not protect the lipid of the cell membrane. And the lipid of the cell membrane, I care the most, because the cell is a gated community. What goes in and what goes out. So if that is not done well, then aging is a problem. A disease is a problem. So I care for that the most. So for that alone, I know I stray away from answering your question. So yes, antioxidant is important. The study of them are manifold, and the tocotrienol consistently perform better than alpha tocopherol as an antioxidant in that sense.
So a couple different things that I started to think about while you were talking about this, how it has a protective capability of helping with the phospholipid bilayer. Mm-hmm. So the cell layer, folks, if you're not familiar with how our cells have protective capability or gated community.
Yes.
I'm going to steal that now. Now with that, with the vitamin E, I mean, one of the things I think about is, well, we have a lot of people who are having trouble with their cells, right? We have a lot of leaky gut. We have a lot of leaky brain. We have all of these things happening. And so if we wanted to, because sometimes I'll get into a conversation with someone, well, what antioxidants do I need? I'm almost thinking vitamin E may be more important than some of the other antioxidants we start thinking about based on how it has a protective capability for the cells and what
yes.
that means for future.
Yeah. Now, let me exemplify it, because I can feel that if I were to be one of the audiences, a man, Dr. Tan is making a very sweeping statement. I want to bring it down to make it practical. Probably in my judgment, one of the best known antioxidants would be vitamin C. Mm-hmm. You can throw at me resveratrol, quercetin, curcumin, all these other wonderful things, astaxanthin, but you're going to be hard-pressed to come across anything like a vitamin C. So I'm not going to talk about the second, third, fourth best. Yeah. The best. Okay, so let's talk about vitamin C and that of tocotrienol. You know, how do I explain this to you? Easy. If you think of this thing here, above the pan is water soluble, below the pan is lipid soluble, like in the cell, and then this is in the cytosol or in the plasma like that. The vitamin C is on the outside, and then the vitamin E is on the inside. And the vitamin E would, because we need oxygen to breathe and to respirate. So the oxygen comes like that. In 1 in 10,000, oxygen is going to go wacko. The 9,999 is fine, like that. So the one that go wacko is trying to satisfy itself, and it will try to look for a double bond, which is in the fat, to get oxidized, and then it will mess up the membrane. And then the tocotrienol will be here and will make the partially oxidized fatty acid whole again. After it make the fatty acid whole again, the vitamin E is oxidized now, because it make it whole and itself is being sacrificed. And the vitamin E is just right below here in the fat. And then above here is the vitamin C. And the vitamin C, because it's water soluble, the vitamin C will then abstract the oxygen, take the oxygen out of the vitamin E, and now the vitamin E is whole again. It's called regenerating the vitamin E. And then the vitamin C will then be peed off. 90% of our vitamin E comes out in the first two urinal paths. So I explained that to you.
Yeah.
The synergy would be vitamin C to vitamin E, and that is well documented compared to any other documentation you can find for vitamin C to resveratrol to curcumin. You're not going to find that. So the only finding hand in glove thing like Starkey and Hutchting would be vitamin C and vitamin E. And C is in the water domain, and the E is inside the cell. That If you get that message, then I take vitamin C every day in my life, and I take tocotrienol like that. I'm almost 70 years old, and then I know it's skin deep. My skin is reasonably well. I'm hoping that inside my body, my organ is well protected. My MDA oxidized fat is low, and also my C-reactive protein is the other stress indicator for inflammation, is also managed and low. So grateful about that. So that would be the closest I can think of. Anything else as antioxidant will pale compared to C and E.
Wow. You know, these are some of the things that I learned, you know, kind of as basics in school when we were talking about how to have the body, you know, keep itself in balance, how to remove toxins, kind of, mm-hmm. you know, the whole kind of process, not even toxins, but neutralize free radicals. Mm-hmm. And you know, a lot of folks right now, because of all of the stuff with how to fight COVID, how to clean up after COVID, all of those different things, glutathione is being pushed quite a bit. And naturally, if we have enough vitamin C and E in the system, it seems that we would be able to help out there too. And I know that some of my folks might be listening to this and going, okay, so do I go with just vitamin C and E? Do I also keep the glutathione on board? What would be your opinion just in terms of with, let's say, optimizing post-infectious situations? We'll keep the big C word out of everything, but ever, you know, just in general, would you say that if someone had enough vitamin C and E that they would be able to clear debris? Because you were talking about lowering your C-reactive protein, all that, or would you think that someone may benefit from glutathione? What's your opinion? I really do want to know your opinion.
Yeah, I think that the C and E is probably going to be the best one. Mm-hmm. Now, how do I come to that conclusion? Because glutathione can do specific thing and other thing can do other thing. I base it on something very primary and very fundamental. Without oxygen, we cannot live. Mm-hmm. The only species that does not need oxygen are plants. And we are far from the genus, from the plant. They take CO2 to convert to O2. We take O2 to convert to CO2. Nothing is more basic. I don't care about master antioxidant. I don't care about anything. If you, the moment you stop breathing, you die there. So therefore, oxygen is ultra, very basic. And for every 10,000 molecule of oxygen we breathe, because we need oxygen for everything, one oxygen will go wacko. It will not be O2, it will be O3. There will be singlet oxygen, and these are very reactive oxygen. It because it's so reactive, they are radical. So they wanted to satisfy themselves and calm themselves down. And the easiest way for them to calm themselves down is to go after an unsaturated fat. And meanwhile, you and I are telling all the people to take more omega-3, and omega-3 have the maximum amount of unsaturation. Easiest for this radical to chew them up. So you need antioxidant like a tocopherol and tocotrienol to protect that oxidative radical to be quenched so that it will not damage the fatty acid that is important that surround the 38 trillion cell wall of cells around. You talking about basic? You talking about a universal antioxidant like glutathione? Think about the cell wall. There is no cell without cell wall. There's no, if there is no cell wall, then the cell is disemboweled. That's how we take antibiotic. It break the cell wall, it disembowel, and then the bacteria die. So we need to have cell wall to contain all the constituent in the cell. So protecting the cell wall will allow nutrient to go into the cell and the waste that is generated by the cell to go out of the cell. That gated community of the cell wall is important to the cell. So I deem that the regeneration of the E is important. Now, the working of the E to protect the cell wall is important. And after the E is protected cell wall, the E need to be regenerated, and the C regenerate the E. I have known of no other thing that does that. That is very, very simple. No monkey business. Just it's in the textbook already. Very standard.
No, it's true. It's true. And I think we've either, I don't know if we've diverted off the plan or looking for something, you know, something novel, whatever it may be. But that is what I remembered from school is definitely having that case of vitamin C regenerating vitamin E.
Yes.
And the need for those. And folks that are listening to this, I wanted Dr. Tan to really talk about that for us because it's something that I keep going back to over and over again. We want to be considering the basics because sometimes in the world of biohacking and science, we will tend to try to look for quick fixes when in reality, we need to think about what is going on with our biology and the basics.
100%.
Let's talk a little bit about annatto in and of itself, because a lot of people might be thinking like, wait, I think I added that to some of my Latin cooking to make the ripe yellow. And I think I added, that they add that to cheese to make that cheddar cheese nice and yellow. We were talking about that a little bit because I'm here close to Wisconsin and that is a huge deal here. So let's talk about the plant in and of itself. Where does it thrive? How do you harvest it? You know, I want to get into the nitty gritty of a little bit more on your business side of things in terms of how vitamin E is harvested. How does it all work? What's the scoop there?
Yeah, I first off, this plant here, annatto plant, I'll show you again. If you look, the whole pot is the fruit, lots of seeds in the middle. This is a very unusual fruit. If you look carefully, in between the seeds is air. So it is the only fruit that I know of that have no mesocarp. It doesn't have a flesh. Unlike every fruit that you eat the flesh, there is no flesh. Mm-hmm. So the plant use this to make the beautiful color and aromatic color to deceive the birds of the air and the frogs to think that the seed is the fruit because of the good smell, the fragrant smell, and swallow it, and then poop the seed to help the procreate. To let you know about that, I took this priceless picture. Ooh. The size of the seed above the frog is actually the size of a grape seed. So the frog is merely the size of a dime. It's tiny.
Wow.
Why am I showing this? This is an tree frog, Amazonian tree frog. In other words, is hiding there. He does not like me taking this picture. You can see he's a very cautious like that. This is a priceless picture like that. It's a tiny frog. All this to say, this annatto is grown in the Amazonia. So, and I am not by definition a medicine man like that. But however, I happen to be in South America. This part is actually epiphanic and prophetic. I went to South America in the late 1990s because Professor Johanna Seiden, an eye specialist in Harvard, said at the time that flanking the back of the retina of the eye is lutein. And lutein is good for macular degeneration. Everybody today know about it. But I knew about this in the 1990s, long time ago like that. So I was going to go to South America to look for giant marigold plant that I can extract lutein from the petal. I did. And I found a plant. And in the middle of it, then fate has it, 30 feet away from me, I saw this plant like that. And I can show you pictures, show you a much younger me. See that? I was looking next to a plant with a beautiful pinkish flower like that. And I found this plant and I said, wait a minute, this is the annatto plant? I didn't know that the color is carotene. And before I was a tocotrienol expert, I was a carotenoid expert. See, like lutein, zeaxanthin, bit like that. Then I said, but carotene are highly unstable, much more unstable than anything else. But in nature, the carotene are protected, like beta carotene in carrot, like lycopene in tomato, like astaxanthin in lobster and crustacean. So why do I bring those things up? You have to cook them in oil, and then the reddish thing come out. And in the lobster, you have to bake them. The moment you do that, the red color show up, otherwise yucky green. All that to say, any carotene found in nature are protected, either in the cytoplasm of the plant or proteinate it so that the protein protects it until it becomes deprotonated. The only exception is this. If you touch it, you can see the stain on here. Enough that this annatto plant, you can see here, enough that this annatto plant is nicknamed by the British. The British call this the lipstick plant. So unexpectedly, the original convention of the wonderful lips of women, red color, came from the lipstick plant. It was discovered about 400 or 500 years ago like that. So there you have it. So I thought, wait a minute, it is not protected by anything. Then I said, there must be some polyphenolic, some antioxidant to protect it. So I was guessing. I was not thinking tocotrienol. I swear, I was not thinking. So when I took this compound, then I said, my goodness, there are no polyphenolics here. And then I said, the only vitamin E. That was the first surprise. Then I said, wait a minute. It does not contain tocopherol. It only contains tocotrienol. Second surprise. And third, not only it contained tocotrienol, it contained the two most potent vitamin E that have ever been researched, which is delta tocotrienol and gamma tocotrienol. Immediately when I discovered that, I called my friend, and not far from where you are, in University of Wisconsin in Madison, I called Professor Qureshi. I found this plant have this, you know, and he was in it 10 years before I did. And then he said, Barry, if tocotrienol were to mitigate chronic condition and disease, annatto tocotrienol better do because if it doesn't, then all cause for what tocotrienol can do is lost. Then I said, great. If you believe that, you conduct a clinical study for me. So that started my strong focus on tocotrienol for the last 25 years. So thank you for allowing me to tell the story. I'm very passionate because it is a God's gift, because I went to South America looking for lutein, remember? And then this is kind of like a sidetrack thing, but the sidetrack thing was so intense, I did. And to this day, I'm highly grateful. There are 50 million chemicals on earth. And I'm not a medicine man by definition. I stumbled on this, decided to do this. And then I discovered this wonderful thing. What is there not to like? And then I can bear this out for the public to use. This is great.
Oh my gosh. Thanks for sharing the story. Yes, I was hoping that I would get to it weaving things through.
Sorry.
I want to know about the annatto. So curious, you know, it's a curious plant. It's an interesting looking plant. And so I find it fascinating just in and of itself. Now, of course, everybody's been listening and going probably, okay, great. What all does vitamin E do for me? I get the antioxidant thing now. I know I need to have some vitamin C to go with the E. Now, my biggest factor, and I'm, let's put it this way. You just showed us a picture of you about 20 plus, almost 30 years ago. And I'm going to be honest that I don't see a ton of change in terms of the skin.
Except quality. The hair.
Minus the hair, I don't see a lot of skin quality change. And so vitamin E is a huge connection with the skin. A lot of topical skin products will have vitamin E in it. And I had seen in some of your notes and with some of the research that we can possibly reverse skin damage and aging with the vitamin E. So I want to start there because on the cellular level, of course, keep this theme going. And of course, I got to get into the heart health and bone health. But let's start with the skin, because just that picture of you and looking at you now. And so folks who are listening to this audio wise, oh my gosh, besides the hair, really, Barry doesn't look like he aged that much. So tell us about this.
Full disclosure, 68 years old. The skin thing, I have several. In animal study, we have a lot. It reduced pigmentation of the skin, already known. And then I can send you all the studies, if you ever write to me like that, reduced pigmentation or blemishes. And then it deposits, whether you take it orally or you apply dermatologically, it deposits on the viable layer of the skin. Like that. So it's known for that. And it blocks UV radiation like that. And also inflammation of the skin, like erythema, like sunburn, like that. It does all of those things. Anecdotally, my colleague in Japan was studying women with breast cancer. which is very serious, like that. And he said that, Barry, some of my women patients told me that they have a side effect. Then I was bracing myself, what he's going to say, what side effect, you know? Then I said, well, they say that their skin were more supple and better. Oh, that kind of side effect. Well, I like that. I was thinking that he's going to tell me something very drastically, which I have never known. We have been selling this for almost 15, 20 years. We have no adverse effect reporting to the FDA on that. So that was a positive side effect. And other people have done it from UV protection, melanoma, increasing moisturizing of the skin. I will also disclose it like that. And for us, it's just a blessing. We are a small company. And the world's second largest, I deliberately speak slowly on this so you get this, the world's second largest skincare company is Estée Lauder. Mm-hmm. And Estée Lauder put our approved Anato Tocotrienol in their skincare product. So I just leave it like that. And they won't tell us the research, but they tell Barry, we tested this and it works for us minimally as an antioxidant on the skin. So they put it into their lipstick. Next time you go, one of their brand is called Aveda. They're high-end, wholesome brand. You look at Aveda, it's Minneapolis-based. And then they put our Tocotrienol in there. It's a wonderful thing. So I think it works for the skin, but we have lots of animal study on melanoma, the extreme thing on the other side. And we have people applying it on psoriasis on the hand and eczema on the arm here. And then it would also reduce the bleeding. In those cases of psoriasis and eczema, it probably works as an anti-angiogenic agent because of the blood vessel that bleed.
Yeah. Yeah. Ooh. And that, I mean, vitamin E in and of itself does help with your blood vessels. So let's kind of move into that side.
To that, right? On that one, I like to branch out like that. First to say, tocotrienol have unshared property from tocopherol, done by Professor Qureshi from University of Wisconsin, I mentioned earlier. He decided to go after clinical study on chronic condition. Many chronic conditions. I will separate the chronic conditions in two areas. Before I start mentioning that, we are not allowed to say this in a bottle for sure, otherwise the FDA will have a problem. So what I'm reporting to you, these are our clinical trials. We can say what they do in the clinical trials. So the two chronic conditions are, one, I'm going to mention one, and then you can go online, we can send you the paper. It would be on cancer, and not only on cancer, stage 4 cancer. All of these studies are done in Denmark. We have 8 clinical trials on cancer, on 4 cancer. They are ovarian cancer, lung cancer, colon cancer, and breast cancer. So send us an email. I'll send you those studies. The ovarian cancer were positive, and the women with ovarian cancer stage 4, after 6 months, all of those on Avastin, anti-angiogenic agent, all of them are not there anymore. And on those on Avastin and tocotrienol, 60% survive. And even after 24 months, 25% still survive. We have great hope for that. But usually I cannot talk the big C word. That is the real big C word. We cannot talk like that. But we can report that's a clinical study. On the other chronic conditions that we tried are these. I'll just name them and you can pick up which one you want me to talk about. We have tried it on pre-diabetes, metabolic syndrome. We tried it on type 2 diabetes patient. We have tried it on postmenopausal women with osteopenia before they get the osteoporosis. We have tried it on men and women with overweight and obesity. And we have now finally worked on, because the metabolic syndrome thing cross over fatty liver disease. It's a silent disease that the liver is being fatty. So you can Google, it's called NAFLD. Non-alcohol fatty liver disease is awkwardly phrased. It was first discovered in Mayo Clinic in Minneapolis because people who have fatty liver disease, they look like people who have alcohol cirrhosis. That's not good. And we don't have enough liver for transplant for people on this. For probably for every one person with alcohol cirrhosis, there will be 200 or more people with fatty liver disease based on dietary concern. We merely have it enough for this. never mind 200, we simply will not have. And the liver doesn't function like the heart. A mechanical heart, you can do that. The liver function more than 700 biochemical reaction. It is not a mechanical device, you know, like the lung. So you cannot make an organ to have 700 function. So if we don't address the NAFLD or NASH, the worst non-alcohol steatohepatitis, hepatitis, then I don't know where to go with it. So we decided to go all in with the last drop of money we make to push in to do NAFLD. So I just told you all the clinical trial. How about you pick the clinical trial to pick up the cherry? I'll talk about that one. How about that?
Well, you know, I think probably one of the biggest things that I see, you know, I'm going to talk about what we see difficulty with in the clinical setting. So for example, a lot of people will change their diet and they will work on all the factors to try to work on this metabolic syndrome situation. And their blood sugar will stay elevated, even though they're working on diet, they're working on fasting and things of that nature. And we'll also see that cholesterol sometimes can be such a bugger to bring down, you know, naturally. I'm not talking any medications involved. Also with the folks with prediabetes, I'm not talking about adding metformin, anything. And so I would be curious for folks who are suffering with the metabolic syndrome, because ultimately it does seem to me like it is an inflammation factor in the body. Is this something that vitamin E could be working on the liver for detox for these folks, but also on the sides of helping with the overall inflammation to get the blood sugar down? Because I feel like those two are, blood sugar and cholesterol are more signs of how high inflammation is in the body than other things.
Dr. Krause, you brought up several things, cholesterol, and then you brought up about a hypertriglyceridemia. You didn't say that, but pre-diabetes and diabetes have to do with high triglyceride. And then cholesterol have to do with atherosclerosis. And then I address the sugar. You also bring up inflammation. Hopefully I can answer something. when we first found out that tocotrienol have differentiated properties from tocopherol, no, by the way, both of them are antioxidant. Except that tocotrienol is 50 times more potent than tocopherol, like that. So the antioxidant already established. Then afterward, the differentiated properties are tocotrienol reduce cholesterol. Tocopherol does not. That has been shown from University of Wisconsin. And how much compared to statin drug? It typically, on dietary people who take too much fat and they have high cholesterol, about 15 to 20% drop. How does that compare to statin? Statin typically drop about 40 to 50%. So it's half that of a statin. So you should be aware of it. So, but it's a dietary supplemental thing that is not bad. When we were doing the study on hypercholesterolemia, it dropped 15, 20%. I noticed it would drop. And then I said, hey, wait a minute. The other lipid profile is triglyceride. The triglyceride drop also. But interestingly, the triglyceride drop even more, 20%, sometimes even more. Then I said, wait a minute. People who have arteriosclerosis are usually on the cholesterol thing, but triglyceride drop, what does that mean? I said, wait a minute. So one time I met Professor Gerald Reaven. He's now retired and passed away. He was the one that came up with Syndrome X. When X is unknown, and now we know metabolic syndrome, thanks to all the work that Professor Reaven did in Stanford University, this medical doctor, I met him when he was given an honor. He gave a speech, and so many people wanted to talk to him, an American Diabetes Association. I didn't. So finally, I got my chance. He was walking away, and he was a little impatient to catch his flight, I think. So I decided to buck up enough courage to buck him. I said, Professor Reaven, just tell me what is the main takeaway from people with a metabolic syndrome. He said this. He just said one sentence and he left me. And the sentence, it was so cogent, I never forgot it. And if the audience got it, bless you. So and that would be that. He said, hypertriglyceridemia precedes hyperglycemia. So if you got that, high triglyceride comes before high sugar. So metabolic syndrome would be that. Then I said, so pre-diabetes, the sugar is normal high, but the triglyceride is also high. In diabetes, the sugar is high, triglyceride is also high. So when you look at your when you look in your lipid panel next time, look at the triglyceride. If your triglyceride is high, then it's probably pre-diabetes if your sugar is okay. If your sugar is off the chart, your doctor will tell you right away you have type 2 diabetes. So if they don't say anything, just look at the triglyceride. So then we decided to study people with pre-diabetes, and we noticed that the triglyceride dropped. A fantastic sign to hold on to before the floodgate open and the sugar go, so you can control your life. So now you have a way to measure how to reverse your type 2 diabetes and pre-diabetes by controlling the triglyceride, and the tocotrienol work that way. So after we were successful with that, we decided to study people with type 2 diabetes. And in type 2 diabetes, I asked the doctors, can you not only measure the fasting glucose, which is important, can you not only measure the A1C, which is a measurement for the 90 days, also important, can you please measure HOMA-IR, which is a measurement of the sensitivity of the insulin as well as the sugar. There's an equation in there. He did all of this, and wonderfully, it worked to reduce the HOMA-IR and the sugar. I am really blessed, man. This is a nutritional supplement. You can do that. So work on that one. So now with all those encouragement, I decided every penny I made, I decided to go. All right. The last big unknown factor would be in the metabolic syndrome cluster would be people with fatty liver disease. It's also another metabolic syndrome. So we now have done 3 studies. Listen, this I love it. This 3 study is a 3-month study on fatty liver and a published work, and a 6-month study published work. We just completed the 12-month study and we're waiting to publish. I'll give you the shorthand. First, in the 3-month study, we look at the liver enzyme, AST, ALT, and there were control. So the liver is control of its stress. So in the 6-month study, I went further. Can you look at this liver enzyme and also C-reactive protein? Now, people measure inflammation C-reactive protein. I don't know if people know that C-reactive protein, which is a measurement of inflammation, C-reactive protein is actually produced in the liver. So it's actually a good measurement for the liver inflammation, not only in the blood, you know, general inflammation like that. It did. Then I asked him to measure, could you even measure oxidative protection of the liver and also measure steatosis, the amount of fat in the liver, and the fat of the liver also reduced. Then I said, I'm a happy guy. So that in the 12-month study, I said, can you study all of these things and please add another one? Because the hepatologists and the people who are endocrinologists, they care about it. They do CAT scan. If you do a CAT scan, see if there's any fibrosis. In other words, if the steatosis has gone too far towards the other side, now you have scarring tissue, and scarring tissue, to the best of our knowledge, is not reversible. So I can only give you a sneak preview. Yes, it does reduce the fibrosis score. So I'm holding my breath so I won't steal the thunder from the professor. He will publish in the next couple of months. Hopefully with that, I'm keeping my fingers crossed, I will have all the 3 dossiers of the published study and approach the FDA sheepishly. I'm not asking them to give me a drug claim. I'm asking them, can you give me a simple structure function claim that I can write on a bottle? See, that I can write, that help people with a liver health. They probably allow something like that, not preventing a fatty liver disease. They probably won't allow something strong. Ladies and gentlemen, I'm doing this not because it's a snake oil. I got 3 studies. I like the FDA to give some blessing, so you don't have to look on the internet to look at study A, B, and C and dish it out. You can look on the label, but still, I'm unable to do that until they approve that. So I'm gonna request the FDA. I think the FDA generally is not negative. If you ask them directly, then it's above board. If they say yes, then I have a structure function claim, just like a calcium in your milk, and it help you to prevent a bone loss. Just like that. Say structure function claim. If they do, then it's something. So I am really thrilled towards the end of my career, I can find this happen and seek to find an outlet in this. So I'm sorry I took so much time on this, but those are the chronic conditions that tocotrienol works on.
That was a great explanation. And we all, I'm sure, hope that you can get that FDA approvals, because I think it is important for folks to have an understanding of what things can truly do for them. Now, the one last thing with tocotrienol that I want to talk about is bone, because bone density and having folks in osteoporosis, osteopenia situations, and the debate on whether, you know, yes, some of the injections and pills can help, but a lot of folks don't want to go that route. And so then they're left with taking a lot of supplements that I don't see a ton of great results with either. So I am curious as to the impact on bone that the tocotrienols have.
Yeah. We did a study in Texas for 3 months, and 3 months is not able to see bone loss. We recruited postmenopausal women with osteopenia, but not yet osteoporosis. And in the 3 month study, it's double blind and placebo control, a kind of gold standard to study this kind of thing. And we give them 300 milligram in one, a placebo dummy pill, 300 milligram and then 600 milligram in the other arm. And then we measure many indicator inflammation and many other things, but mostly we measure a marker that build bone and then another marker that reduce bone. So we have one over the other. We want this number ratio to increase and not decrease. We found that the ratio did increase, a very satisfying thing. Let's say the ratio on the 300 milligram increased by X. So the ratio of the 600 milligram, if you do simple arithmetic, it then will increase by 2x. We did not find that the 600 milligram increased by 2x. The 600 milligram increased by, say, 1.3x. You follow? So it's 30. So the 300 milligram is 1x improvement. So all that to say, yes, it resists bone loss in postmenopausal women, and that probably 300 milligram would be good enough, and the 600 milligram buy you a little bit more, but not much more. So that was a study, and the study was published by Texas Tech University in Lubbock.
Okay, excellent, excellent. And I think you have most of your research noted on your website at berrytan.com.
Yes, if you go to berrytan.com, and American River Nutrition, or you simply type my name, there will be three. And that you have things like Delta Gold, which is trade name this. And you can see one of them would be bone in the back here. See the bone health, hair health, and other hair health and like that. So in the website, you will also see, if it's time permitting, you will also see from the natto, we also extracted GG. GG is short for giant. It's definitely for muscle health. You can see all this in there like that. And as well, we have finally, we have dual quinol, which is a combination of CoQ10 and GG for cardiovascular health. So those are we only have three products and nothing else. And I spent 20 over years of my life doing this. I wanted to do this so that before I retire, the public know this strongly, that these three compounds have strong implication to help us in the aging process and to protect us, and that we have strong reason and compelling reason why we should be taking it. Personally, I take GG because as I'm aging, I lose muscle mass, sarcopenia, mm-hmm. like that. I'm also taking a statin drug, and I fear myopathy, and the GG would be able to reverse that. I'm also taking tocotrienol to contain my inflammation and also making my cholesterol at bay. So those are the reasons why I'm taking these two. And of course, taking CoQ10 because it's good for cardiovascular health.
Now, I wanted to talk, because we had talked before we started recording about the GG, and we had talked about that, how it's going to, it's much different in terms of because it converts to CoQ10, correct?
Correct.
And so we're looking at this GG as helping the body, like you had said, prevent muscle loss, but also with the inhibiting of the statin myopathy. Now, the interesting part that I wanted to talk with folks about is that coenzyme Q10 is hard to absorb. And so having GG on board helps you to make the CoQ10 on your own, correct? And did I say that right?
You say that correctly. And if you ever get a clip of this picture here on the back of this picture, you on the back against the wall is the molecule of CoQ10. It's an albatross. It's really long. The molecule almost have 1,000 molecular weight. So it's very hard to absorb because it's super large. But our body make this, that's why our body make this molecule is so important. But once a molecule is made, it stay inside the cell. In front of this is a GG molecule, about three times smaller. It looked big because I pushed the molecule forward. Like that is three times, about approximately three times shorter. And when there are no supplement that you take can make CoQ10 in the body, you have to take exogenous from oxide, exogenous CoQ10 if you want it in. And when you take exogenous CoQ10, 1 to 3% is gone in. In other words, if you take 100 milligram, you can expect 1 to 3 milligram. It's miserable. Even if it's bioavailable, it's 3 milligram. That's it. So don't believe anything else. But if you take GG, because it's so much smaller, it absorbs better. Once it absorbs, it will convert to CoQ10. It has the ability to do this. Because this, by the way, this GG compound is also a compound our body makes. So this is one. GG is found in the body to make three things. One is CoQ10, which is critical for conversion of energy, ATP, and all these wonderful things on the heart muscle. GG is also required in a body, another time I can delve into this, to make aminoquinone, but it's making MK4, not MK7 for bone health, and it is the only aminoquinone made inside the body. It's tantalizing. You got to give me another interview sometime to talk about GG to make that. And then the final thing is GG is required in a body to make skeletal muscle protein. Approximately 30-40% of our weight is skeletal muscle. And all of us, as we age, we do not want to have loss of muscle mass called sarcopenia. And if we take medication, two that I know, there are more, but two that I know, many people take statin drugs and the doctor care about, do you have myopathy, back pain, this pain and other things. But we as consumer know about CoQ10 drug. Well, I just explained to you, when you take statin drug, it lower GG in your body. And that's why you have myopathy. And if you lower GG, that's why your CoQ10 drug. That's it. I just explained two in one like that. So they're just coming. So because GG your body makes, that's it. So even if you don't take statin drug, as we grow older, the Japanese figured this out. Why? The Japanese scientists, why? Because the elderly Japanese have loss of muscle mass, then the loss of the ability to thrive. When they give them the GG, they're able to improve their thrive. So three things then on GG for our next interview would be the making of skeletal muscle mass, synthesis of CoQ10, and the aminoquinone that help you to keep your arteriosclerosis at bay and to prevent you from having osteoporosis. So that's the GG piece. It's a wonderful thing. And then for me to bring it together, I was going to South America to look for lutein in marigold. And then I found this annatto plant. And thankfully, I discovered tocotrienol in it. And then I thought that would be already a huge blessing. And then when I extracted the tocotrienol, hey, what is this light yellow color? And then it's GG. So I actually owe it to the world to bring this out to people. It's as passionate to me. I'm making a living, but I'm really passionate. People need to know about it. And American River is a Massachusetts-based company. And, you know, now I'm getting emotional. I'm not born in this country. I'm initially from Malaysia. My parents are of Chinese descent. I have many people ask me to make this compound in Asia or someplace else at half the price. I said, no, I'm going to make it here because this country have given me so much. I decided I'm going to do it here. I'll make it the best product that people can use it for. See, if you ever come this way in Massachusetts, nested in the Pioneer Valley, come visit me. I'll show you around. Dr. Krause, you and other people who may be here. So sorry, I make that. It's more an impassionate plea, you know. It's not a sales pitch, but this is so special. I stumbled on this when I went to look for something else in South America, and it's almost comical. I can't even speak a word of Spanish. And I'm Asian. I'm supposed to find all of this wonderful thing in Asia, but that's not where I went. I went to South American figure all this out.
Oh my goodness. Oh my goodness. I mean, you have quite, I mean, this is an amazing story. I can feel your passion through, you know, just how you're speaking about everything. And I always love it when people offer that, you know, to come tour their plant. Cause you know what? I do take people up on these offers, and we can even do a special podcast if I can make it over to Western Mass there. And, check things out, because I think for many folks right now, just in the state of affairs with how things are with trust factors, let's put it that way. I think it's very important to be able to dive into what factor, you know, knowing and getting to know a company on a deeper level and know what they're interacting with versus just buying something because an ad told them to. So thank you for that offer. I am definitely going to work to get my butt over to Western Mass, and we'll do a podcast when we can get me touring, and we'll do it one-on-one so that folks can see.
And then before I leave you, and this is a label of love. I spent a year and a half to do that. The truth about vitamin E, and it's free of charge. If you go to my website, berrytan.com, or you can download this like that. If you have a lot of people who are interested on hard copies, Dr. Krause, send me an email. I'll send you a dozen or two copies that I'll autograph. Otherwise, you can download the free. You can see the product compared to Palm. Look at the 300 milligram and 200 milligram. Look at that. We make it highly purified and deliver to people as needed, not adding any other excipient. I don't believe that. You simply have to take it with a meal that have emulsification, and then it would absorb. Thank you so much for interviewing me and allowing me to talk to your audience. Hopefully this will be a blessed information for you, and all of you have a wonderful weekend.
Well, thank you very much. I sincerely appreciate it. And boy, I've got more info on vitamin E than I ever learned in school. And now I've revamped my mind on this vitamin C, vitamin E component there that I think I'm going to be talking about more and more with my patients so folks can understand the basics over and over again. Thank you so much for coming on.
Hey, fellow health junkie, thanks for listening to the Health Fix podcast. If you enjoyed tuning in, please help support me to get the word out about the podcast. Subscribe, rate, and review, and just get that word out. Thanks again for listening.